भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत्सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, entitled Creation, Chapter 18, entitled Parikshit Cursed by a Brahmana Boy, Text Number 18. Suta Vacha. अहो वयं जन्म मृतो देहास्म वृद्धानुवृत्त्यापि विलोम जाता दोष्कुल्यमादिं विदुनोति शीघ्रम् महात्मानामभिधान योग वर्ड फॉरवर्ड मीनिंग सूत उवाच सूत गोस्वामी सेड अहो हाउ वयम वी जन्म मृतः Promoted in birth. Adya, today. Ha, clearly. Asma, have become. Vriddha anuvrittya,
by serving those
who are advanced in knowledge.
Api,
although.
Viloma jata,
born in a mixed caste. Dosh kulyam,
disqualification of birth.
Adhim,
sufferings.
Vidhunoti,
purifies.
Shigram,
very soon.
Mahattamana,
of those who are great.
Abhidhana,
conversation.
Yogaha,
connection.
Translation and purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Suta Goswami said, O God, although we are born in a mixed caste, we are still promoted in birthright simply by serving and following the great who are advanced in knowledge. Even by conversing with such great souls, one can without delay cleanse oneself of all disqualifications resulting from lower births. Translation, please repeat. Sri Suta Goswami said,
O God,
although we are born in a mixed caste,
we are still promoted
in birthright,
simply by serving
and following the great
who are advanced in knowledge.
Even by conversing with such great souls,
one can without delay
cleanse oneself
of all disqualifications
resulting from lower births.
Purport.
Suta Goswami did not take his birth in a Brahmana family. He was born in a family of mixed caste or an uncultured low family. But because of higher association like Sri Shukdev Goswami and great rishis of Naimisharanya, certainly the disqualification of inferior birth was washed off. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu followed this principle in pursuance of the Vedic usages, and by his transcendental association he elevated many low-born or those disqualified by birth or action to the status of devotional service and established them in the position of acharyas or authorities. He clearly stated that any man, whatever he may be, whether a brahmana or shudra by birth or a householder or mendicant in the order of society, if he is conversant with the science of Krishna, he can be accepted as an acharya or guru, a spiritual master. Suta Goswami learned the science of Krishna from great rishis and authorities like Shukdev and Vyasadev, and he was so qualified that even the sages of Naimisharanya eagerly wanted to hear from him the science of Krishna in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he had the double association of great souls by hearing and preaching. Transcendental science or the science of Krishna has to be learned from the authorities, and when one preaches the science, he becomes still more qualified. So Suta Goswami had both the advantages, and thus undoubtedly he was completely freed from all disqualifications of low birth and mental agonies. This verse definitely proves that Srila Shukdev Goswami did not refuse to teach Suta Goswami about the transcendental science, nor did the sages of Naimisharanya refuse to hear lessons from him because of his inferior birth. This means that thousands of years ago, there was no bar to learning or preaching the transcendental science because of inferior birth. The rigidity of so-called caste system in Hindu society became prominent within only 100 years or so, when the number of dvija bandhus or disqualified men in the families of higher castes increased. Lord Sri Chaitanya revived the original Vedic system, and he elevated Thakur Haridas to the position of Namacharya or the authority in preaching the glories of the holy name of the Lord. Although His Holiness Srila Haridas Thakur was pleased to appear in a family of Mohammedans. Such is the power of pure devotees of the Lord. The Ganges water is accepted as pure, and one can become purified after taking a bath in the waters of the Ganges. But as far as the great devotees of the Lord are concerned, they can purify a degraded soul even by being seen by the low-born, and what to speak of association. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to purify the whole atmosphere of the polluted world by sending qualified preachers all over the world, and it remains with the Indians to take up this task scientifically and thus do the best kind of humanitarian work. The mental diseases of the present generation are more acute than bodily diseases. It is quite fit and proper to take up the preaching of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world without delay. Mahatmanam Abhidhana also means dictionary of great devotees, or a book full of the words of great devotees. Such a dictionary of the words of great devotees and those of the Lord are in the Vedas and allied literatures, specifically the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुम लंगायते गिरिम यत्कृपादमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणं वांशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो दिस श्रीमद् भागवतम हैज बीन ग्लोरिफाइड इन टुडेज परपोर्ट एंड थ्रू आउट श्रीमद् भागवतम वी सी हाउ our lives should be centered about descriptions given in Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the purpose of human life, to make the themes of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and all these great scriptures, we should make these themes part of our life, our being basically. So everyone is actually glorifying someone or something all the time. So it's not that we are not habitual to glorify someone or something. All materialists, they are always glorifying. And they are, what are they glorifying? They are glorifying, if they are glorifying about glorifying a person, so what are the aspects of that person these people are glorifying about? Someone likes the name of some person, or they like the form of opposite gender, or they like some qualities in that person, or the way they act. So they are discussing with each other, they are glorifying these aspects of some person. Yes, their various opulences. So these are the aspects one we glorify, or if there is something, some material thing, we glorify, okay, how it would help me, what are the characteristics, what are the qualities in this thing which can satisfy me. So everyone is glorifying, but the problem is they are glorifying temporary aspects. Material names, material forms, material qualities, material activities, all these things are temporary. So why to waste time in glorifying temporary things? So we can use this human life to glorify permanent, eternal things. So Krishna's name, form, qualities and pastimes, they are eternal. So Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us training, it's giving examples that how we can glorify Krishna's aspects, Krishna's opulences. So all these scriptures are training us. So we must enroll in this program, in this this is our career, to learn how to glorify Krishna and all aspects of Krishna. So we have different prayers, different verses in all these scriptures, and we can learn them. We can recite them every day and make it our habit, make it our life to glorify these things. And this glorification is called kirtan. So chanting can be translated into kirtan or japa. So japa is our personal practice. So if we sincerely chant dutifully, initially we chant dutifully. We don't have taste in initial beginning stages, we don't have taste, but as a duty, just theoretically we understand the importance, we hear the glories of holy names and we start chanting the holy name dutifully. And what happens if we do that, this dutiful chanting transforms into ecstatic kirtan, ecstatic glorification. Then one can, when one reaches on this spontaneous ecstatic platform, then He cannot stop glorifying Krishna's aspects. So Krishna's name, we can see this song, Vibhavari Shesha, Aloka Pravesha, Nidra Chadi Utha Jiva. So here it's saying that, oh Jiva, just wake up, night has finished and day has begun, just wake up and chant the holy name of Lord Hari. And we have this Naam Sankirtan, Hari Haraya Nama Krishna, Yadavaya Nama, Gopal, Govinda, Ram, Sri Madhusudana, all these names of Krishna are there. There is another song, Naam Kirtan, Yashomati Nandan, Brajbar Nagar, all these names are given, so many names of Krishna. So we can chant, sing nicely all these names. So that's Naam Kirtan. So similarly, we have different verses describing form of Krishna. In the morning we have Govinda Madhipurusham prayers, we have Venum Kwanantam, Arvinda Dalaya Taksam. So there's beautiful description of Krishna's form there, that he has a peacock feather, he's playing his flute, his, you know, Arvinda Dalaya Taksam, his eyes are like lotus petals. So like that, descriptions of Krishna's form are given in these scriptures, and we can learn them and recite them. So that's Guna Kirtan. We can chant about the Rupa Kirtan. We can chant about the beauty of Krishna, beauty of his form. And then his qualities are unlimited, as we know. Krishna's qualities, there is no end to Krishna's qualities. It is said you can count the grains of sand throughout the universe or throughout the earth even. You may be able to count, but you cannot count qualities of Krishna. His qualities are unlimited. His pastimes are unlimited. So we can see so many places. His compassion is his greatest quality. Oh, Bakiyam Stanakalukutam. That verse where it is said that he even gave position of nurse to Putana, who came to kill him. So how merciful he is. So that's his, one of his great qualities. And then his pastimes, they are also eternal and worth glorifying. Even in Bhagavad Gita we can see this Leela Kirtan. Sanjay is chanting the glories of his activities. Senayor ubhayor madhye sthapayitva rathottamam. So what did Krishna do in Bhagavad Gita? Arjun told him that, please take my chariot in the middle of two armies. And he took the chariot as if he is his servant, you know. Whatever he said, he did. So the Brahmana, as we know, the Brahmana in Rangakshetra, when he couldn't read Bhagavad Gita, but when he saw that Krishna is acting as a servant, so he was crying with tears in his eyes. And Mahaprabhu was very pleased that actually you have understood these pastimes of Krishna. So we can chant these beautiful pastimes, we can memorize from Krishna book and these various scriptures and discuss with each other. Machitta matgatrana bodhyanta parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. So these are the activities of devotees. We glorify Krishna's activities with each other, we converse with each other, and we delight in that. So when we make our mind a place where we remember about these aspects of Krishna, then we can actually really enjoy. Our motive is not to enjoy separately from Krishna. Our motive should be to give Krishna pleasure, and we will be automatically happy in that case. So there is, Krishna performs these pastimes in various places. Krishna is never alone. You won't see Krishna alone or lonely or in depression or, you know, that, oh, I don't have friends. See, he has many friends. So we can also become Krishna's friend if we follow his instructions. So he, whenever, wherever he goes, if he comes, descends to this material world, he comes with the entire package. His friends, his all his paraphernalia, everything, with his dham. He brings his dham as well. So all these places of pilgrimage, the important places, we should, when we visit, we try to absorb in the mood that Krishna is still present here. So we need refined vision to see that actually Krishna is, how this place is related to Krishna. And then wherever we are in the world, we can remember that, oh, Krishna performed this pastime and he performed this pastime here. So that way we are actually residing in that dham. So we have Raja dham, Mayapur dham, Jagannath Puri dham. So these are not ordinary places on the world map, that okay, I would tour this place. We cannot actually buy a ticket to dham. To buy a ticket to dham, we need some special qualification. If we have that ticket, then wherever we are located in the world, we would be in dham. And there is a nice definition given by Srila Prabhupada. So he says, he gives definition of dham, that what is dham actually. So he says, appearance of name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, etc., all these aspects of Krishna, specifically within the heart. So that is called dham. So wherever these aspects of Krishna appear, that is dham. So if we remember about these aspects of Krishna, so our mind becomes dham, like that. And these dhams, we know these are not ordinary places. So if we remember these pastimes of Krishna, then we can appreciate. Like for example, Jagannath Puri Dham, it is said when demigods, they look from their abode, when they look at Jagannath Puri, they see all the residents there four-handed, Narayan form. So, but we cannot see like that. But whoever is there, they will be liberated. And it is said when the whole whole universe is annihilated, that Puri Dham doesn't, it is not annihilated. It stays as it is. And these are located, these dhams are not located within this material world. It is said very interestingly that there is one place called Vishram Ghat in Mathura. So what happened when Hiranyaksha was there? Lord Varahadev defeated him, and after that he rested at Vishram Ghat. Vishram means to take rest. And there he had also, Bhumi Devi was present there. And he recited Varaha Puran to Bhumi Devi. So it is said, now Bhumi Devi was there on his tusks and he was resting in Vishram Ghat. So where is Vishram Ghat actually? Bhumi Devi is here. So it's not located in the geographical location on earth. It's outside earth. So these are very wonderful things about this dham. And we can make our mind this dham. So what's happening here in the conversation between Suta Goswami and sages of Naimisharanya? So this is very interesting. So here we saw that how Pandavas established Maharaj Parikshit as the king, and then they retired. And once when Parikshit Maharaj was traveling, he saw age of Kali, and Kali surrendered, and he was about to kill Kali, but Kali surrendered to the king. And then he also understood that this is the time of appearance of Kali Yuga. So he allowed the entrance of Kali. Now in this chapter we would see how Kali actually entered, when the small young neophyte Brahmana boy curses great devotee Maharaj Parikshit. So through the degradation of Brahmana class, Kali entered. So here we saw earlier in this chapter when Suta Goswami was answering questions of sages. So he said, just earlier in this chapter, Yeah, here he says, O sages, as you did ask me, now I have described almost everything regarding the narrations about Lord Krishna in the connection with the history of pious Maharaj Parikshit. So here he says, I have described almost everything, you know. So he could have ended his Bhagavatam class there, that okay, I've described almost everything. But the sages were very eager, you know. Sometimes we think, oh, when will class finish? And when the speaker is about to finish, okay, any about to finish, or, you know. So generally, you know, I don't think, oh yes, please keep going on and on. We say, okay, when will it finish? If someone asks a question, so I think, oh no, another 5 minutes, you know, to sit here. But here sages are very eager to hear more. So if Suta Goswami would have ended here, this is just first canto. So there are 12 cantos. So he kept going on, and sages were very happy to hear all these topics. So this is the eagerness with which we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And Suta Goswami, when sages requested him that, no, please recite, that these topics of Krishna are very nectarian, you must recite. So today's verse we see, Suta Goswami said, so from today's verse he again starts reciting the glories of Krishna. But he is taking very humble position here. So in today's verse he says that, oh, I am, you know, not even qualified. He says, I have disqualifications of lower birth, you know. But he says, because I associated with advanced sages, so I can describe this knowledge. So these disqualifications are actually they cannot be considered obstacles on the path of devotional service, because path of devotional service is totally spiritual, and nothing material can check the progress of spiritual things. So Krishna Sankirtan cannot be stopped by any material situation. So here Suta Goswami is saying, you know, I have a lower birth, but we know in Kali Yuga, Kalau Shudra Sambhava, everyone at birth, everyone is equal to almost a Shudra in Kali Yuga. So everyone is disqualified practically. So then why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, they preached this mission? Because there is a possibility for everyone to go back to Godhead. In third canto, Devahuti, Kapila, Lord Kapila's mother, she says that Yannam Deya Shavananu Kirtana Yat Pravanad Smaranad Api Kvachit Shwadopi Sadhya Savanaya Kalpate Kutaha Punaste Bhagavanu Darshana. That even a dog eater, actually, he can become a qualified Brahmana. And then later also she says, if one takes up to devotional service sincerely, and one who chants Yat Jivagre Vartate Nama Tubhyam, if on the tip of someone's tongue there is holy name of Krishna, then it is considered that he has already done, he has taken dips into all holy rivers, he has done study of Shastra, he has done all penances, sacrifices, everything is done if you just chant. So in age of Kali, everything is bad, basically. Kaler Dosha Nidhe Rajan. This is Dosha Nidhi. This is like an ocean of doshas, ocean of faults. But there is only one good thing, that just by chanting the holy name, we can go back to God. So if one chants the holy name, then there is no disqualification. It's our false humility that we may say, oh, I am disqualified because this, you know. I cannot become pure, you know, because of this situation. Oh, I am just, I'm in this ashram, or I am this gender, I cannot be pure, you know, like that. There is no material situation which can actually stop our purification. So only disqualification that we have, which can stop us, is our attachment to this world. So we are attached to so many things. It is said that actually by bhakti, you can become fully pure and all the karmas, all the reactions that we have can be burned. There is only one reason that those karmas won't be removed. And what's that reason? That for some reason, if the devotee doesn't want that karma to be removed, that's the only reason that it won't be removed. We just want to hang on, you know. So it's, we have heard that there is a thorny tree and someone just embraces it and says, oh, leave me, leave me. So it's like we have embraced these reactions. We want some things, some material dirtiness in our mind. We don't want complete purification. So that's why these material desires were there. That's why we are here in this material world. And we are trying to hang on to temporary things. Yeah, we want to hang on to these temporary things which will eventually go away. We are happy with the fallible soldiers around us. And we think we are safe. So in Krishna book, Prabhupada writes that while when Devaki and Vasudev, they were in the prison house of Kamsa and Krishna had entered the womb of Devaki, all the demigods came there and they were offering prayers to Krishna. And there it's mentioned, they mentioned that Krishna's qualities and aspects, they are eternal. And this material manifestation is temporary. And they compared it to a tree. A tree is a temporary manifestation. It would be uprooted or cut eventually. And that's why the word vriksha, another word for tree is vriksha. Vriksha means something which would be cut. So this material world is like that. It is temporary. So it sounds logical that okay, it's temporary. If someone gives you a temporary thing, like okay, we get different bodies, but it's okay. Like if you, for example, someone likes ice cream, okay, you give an ice cream, okay, it's temporary. You had it, okay. Then you give another ice cream, you know. So if something is good, it doesn't matter if it's temporary, you can, you know, keep getting the supply. But the problem with material world is it's temporary and it's dirty also. It's full of misery also. So it's temporary plus if you accept it, you will be in distress. So that's why Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj said, he gave an analogy that this whole material world is like, you know, it's like a toilet. It's a dirty place. You just do your business and get out of it. So we just have, in human body, you know, we just have to get this knowledge of self-realization and go out of this material world. In those dirty places, in toilets, we don't just hang around, you know. They are not very attractive places. Even it may be very attractive on airports or a five-star hotel, but the activities performed there are very dirty. The same way this material world, you know, nice places, holiday locations, this and that, you go on tour, you know. But ultimately the activities living entities perform are very dirty. And activities are that we want to enjoy separate from Krishna. So this is a very dirty thought. So we don't, you know, like the whole creation, this material world is just 1/4 part. So if someone is in spiritual world and this one part is like the dirty toilet part, so one won't say in the spiritual world, okay, I'm going on a holiday. So where are you going on a holiday? Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, where? No, the dirty place. I'm going on a dirty place on a tour there. I want to observe all the dirtiness. We don't see here tours, you know, date, you know, you go to city, we see day tours, going to Phillip Island, Great Ocean Road. We don't see, okay, day tour, we'll view all the laboratory blocks in Melbourne, you know, a guided tour. It's not logical. We want to be in the best place. Actually, once where last year what happened was, I was in the shower area there and Stambha Baba Prabhu was with me. So a small boy, just 3-4 years old, he came there with a girl who was 5-6 year old. So that girl had curiosity to, you know, have a look what boys' toilets are like, you know. And this small boy said, oh yeah, I will show you, come. So, so he went there and he was giving that girl a guided tour. And when I saw, I laughed and I told Stambha Baba Prabhu. So we laughed for some, you know, for a few minutes. So, but they were doing very innocently, of course. But it's, if a adult does it, it's like very, he must be insane, you know. But that's what we do. We come to this material world and we don't want to go. You know, we want to stay here, you know, to hang on to it, you know. So it's very insane, actually, on our part. So our purpose is basically to get fully clean. And here, in today's verse and purport, Prabhupada writes, it gives us this indication that, oh, you hear from authoritative sources and then you preach. So here, it's very important. Prabhupada says, transcendental science or science of Krishna has to be learned from authorities, and when one preaches the science, he becomes still more qualified. So that's important. So if you preach this knowledge, so then we become more purified. There are six qualities, six characteristics of pure devotional service. One of them is that pure devotional service is auspicious, very auspicious. It's described in the first chapter of Nectar of Devotion. So there it's given that what is Rupa Goswami's definition of auspiciousness. So he says real auspiciousness means when we act for the welfare of the whole world. Means this preaching. So when we actually preach, so then whole world becomes auspicious and our lives become auspicious. And here we have examples in this Srimad Bhagavatam. Here it's written, Mahattamanam Abhidan also means dictionary of great devotees. So Srimad Bhagavatam is like a dictionary of great devotees. We learn from them that how are they acting. And then, you know, we can progress also. So throughout Bhagavatam we have examples of Narada Muni. And recently Janananda Maharaj, he was also mentioning that whoever comes in contact with Narada Muni gets purified. So we also have a chance of associating with Narada Muni in these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam when we hear his stories, how he preached and how he transformed these great personalities. Then we can actually get benefit also. So there is this great, very nice verse by Narada Muni. This is a prayer by Narada Muni. I'll just read the translation. So he's praying to Krishna. O swan, gliding in the lakes of Vrajavasi's love, I wish that I may wander everywhere, always chanting, drinking the nectar of your names. Those most sweet names arise from the ocean of Gokul and spread the glories of your infinitely varied dress and ways of acting. As I wander, behaving like a madman, may I distribute joy to everyone in all the worlds. So here, what Narada Muni is saying, he's saying he wants to wander and chant the holy names and distribute them. But another important thing to understand is, he says, as I wander, behaving like a madman. So he has become madman because he is in total love of Krishna. So that's one nature of preaching. Preaching means you take Krishna consciousness for yourself so much that you are, it's like Krishna consciousness oozes out of the pores of your body. And whatever oozes out, the others pick, you know, collect that. So that is like preaching. So preaching doesn't mean just we try to distribute to others. It's first for us. Our first duty is to take Krishna consciousness ourselves and become mad, basically. Of course, we don't have to wait till we are pure devotees and then start preaching. But that point is that we, this is very important, that we take this nectar ourselves to the ultimate, to the maximum limit we can. And there is no limit to it, actually. So it is said that Krishna's pastimes and his being is so sweet. It's called Madhurya. So there is this verse here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna himself accepts. So we'll see here what he says about his own sweetness. Amar madhurya nitya nava nava hai swasva prema anurupa bhakte aswadai. So now Krishna is admitting here that my sweetness is always newer and newer. So in this world we want fresh things, fresh relationships. Everyone is hankering for freshness, basically. But in material world, whatever is offered is stale. It's temporary and stale. It becomes very stale and distasteful. But Krishna is saying, my sweetness is always newer and newer. Devotees taste it according to their own respective love. And then he says, if I see my sweetness in a mirror, I am tempted to taste it. But nevertheless, I cannot. So he himself wants to taste his sweetness, but he cannot. Of course, he is God, he can. Then he knows how to do it, how to taste his own sweetness. If I deliberate on a way to taste it, I find that I hanker for the position of Radhika. So that's why he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the position of Radharani, a devotee, and he's tasting the sweetness of Krishna. So that's, we need to think that how can I taste the sweetness of Krishna? And it would always be fresh. There will be newer and newer taste, and then we can keep going on. So we can chant the holy names of Lord very attentively. And when we chant attentively without offense, there is a change within the heart. The process is made very simple. There are no hard and fast rules. Tatrapita niyamita smarne nakala. There is no hard and fast rules. In that second verse of Shikshashtak, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, there is no hard and fast rule. And later he says, but I have no attraction for these names. So in second verse of Shikshashtak, it is mentioned that, okay, if you don't have taste of chanting holy name. In third verse, the method, the process is given how to get that taste. If you are humble, this humility will attract Krishna. And then you can get taste. This utter humility, it's called dhanya. So it is said, without this dhanya, without this humility, you cannot get prema. So we need to be very humble. And then we can actually please Krishna. And this chanting process is very nice. It is said it is better than remembering. Kirtanam is better than smarnam. So how is that? So scientifically we see when you remember Krishna's aspects. So your mind is engaged. But when we chant, our tongue is engaged, our ears would be engaged, and our mind would be engaged. And in addition, others would also hear and they would benefit. So that's why it is said chanting process is better even than remembering. Of course, ultimately we say, you know, yen ten prakarena mana Krishna niveshayet. Ultimately we have to focus our minds on Krishna. But especially in this age of Kali Yuga, it's very hard. Prabhupada would say no one can sit silent. You know, it's practically impossible to sit silent for half an hour. It's not possible. So that's why if you chant, the ears and mind becomes engaged in Krishna. And the name of Krishna is non-different than Krishna. And when he comes, he would clean us. Because he is totally pure. And so our only goal should be Yare dekha tare kaha Krishna. So there is no disqualification. We can chant the about aspects of Krishna in any position we are in, and when we chant it to others, we discuss with others, they also get benefit. So that's preaching. We can preach in any position and we will get benefit, others will get benefit. And this has been exhibited by Suta Goswami here. So I would like to end here and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed.
First of all, when you were giving the example of ice cream, I was thinking you can eat number of ice cream, still you don't say jelly. But with Krishna Katha, more and more hungry. Because in material world they say all good things of life are fatty. So you can't eat too many. The other thing is that when you were talking about Susa Goswami, he was speaking to the sages in Nishanya for 230 years continuous. I don't know whether you remember.
No.
230 years continuously. This is the case which I have done in Mahabharata. There is no satiation in spite of talking and hearing about. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Something is called the fairy logical in page 1019 for Prabhupada's writing that it says that thousands of years ago there was no bar to learning or preaching the transcendental science because of inferior birth. And then you write the rigidity of the so-called caste system became prominent within only 100 years. So, is the implication that that's not within 100 years of that speaking, when, like, so quickly?
Is that, sorry, is that what?
That we accept that literally as it's written.
Not very exactly. So Mataji is just pointing out here, it's given that thousands of years ago there was no bar in learning or preaching, like whatever, based on your birth, because Suta Goswami, although he was from mixed caste, he learned from Shukdev Goswami, Vyasdev, and he taught to great sages, so there was no bar. But here it says the rigidity of the so-called caste system in Hindu society became prominent within only 100 years, can be said, I think, roughly, because even at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when, like, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami belonged to Saraswat Brahman class, but when they served the Mohammedans, they were considered outcast, although they were such pure devotees, you know. So there was some sort of system there, but recently what happened was no one is following anything, and then still they say, I'm from this caste and I'm from that caste. I think that's what Prabhupada means here when he says last 100. Within last 100 years, that's what has happened in India, that just by, because of birth, they would say that, you know, I'm from this caste. Okay, any other questions or comments? Hare
Krishna.
Suta Goswami's parents is son of Romaharshan Suta, is that right? Yeah, Romaharshan Suta. His mother's name, I'm not sure about anyone else, would like, I don't know his mother. Romaharshan Suta was presiding over an assembly when Lord Balaram was traveling various places of pilgrimage, and when he reached there, Romaharshan Suta was sitting on the Vyasasana and he did not stand up, and Lord Balaram killed him. So that's his father, but he was also, he was a pure devotee. Suta Goswami, sorry.
In order to maintain the jagat, yes, the song was
created. Yeah, something like that. They said, you have done a great sin. You've killed our, you know, main person. So then they said his son would preside the meeting, or what was the later presided this great 230 years. Anything else? Alright, thank you very much. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Sita Gopi Manandeyo.